Blog Talk Radio.
Bonjour mes amis, ça va bien? Oh, I hope we're all ça va bien-ing tonight. This is Sybil Brunchen, and I'm coming to you live, can you imagine, over the airwaves with Come Now, Don't Sulk. It's our weekly podcast on Monday nights, and we are part of the Here Be Monsters studio. We're a proud member of the Here Be Monsters studio on Blog Talk Radio Network. We have been on the air now for a few years, thanks to our wonderful producer and the founder of Here Be Monsters studio, Gwendolyn Holden Berry, who is on the air with me tonight. Gwendolyn, are you on the air?
I'm on the air.
Gwendolyn is coming to you from Port St. Lucie, Florida, and Mummy is coming to you from just outside of Philadelphia here in Pennsylvania. Gwendolyn is suffering right now with palm trees and orchids and blue ocean waves crashing on the shore and a temperature
degrees.
Of maybe in the freezing 65 degrees or something. Mummy
51.
Is basking in the glow of 3 inches of snow and slush and 15 degree weather and the winter. So we have different lives, but we are both united in our joy of being here with you tonight on Come Now, Don't Sulk. What, Gwendolyn, what were you going to say?
I said it's 51 degrees here. It's chilly as hell. We're in Florida. Oh, when it gets this cold, it's a wet cold that gets into you. So I'd rather really be up with you with the snow, and it would be warmer sitting in your room.
Well, when you say wet cold that gets into you, Mummy was shoveling snow today and took a terrible fall on the driveway and rolled around and rolled 20 feet down the driveway in the slush. And Gwendolyn, I love you dearly, but you really don't. You have to understand that your description of cold, a wet cold that gets into you, falls very flat. I was soaked to the bone, and I still had an hour's worth of shoveling to do. I literally was like a frozen popsicle. That's what I was, a mess.
Oh, God. That's terrible.
But I'm very strong. I'm very durable, and I'm hardly New England stock. Listen, before we get any farther, I just want to remind everyone, this is Blog Talk Radio. It is the Here Be Monsters studio, and we are doing Come Now, Don't Sulk live every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. Yes, Australia, we're including you. Yes, Madagascar, we're including you. We have listeners all around the world every week who join us. Our phone number, in case you want to call in, is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. And our sponsor this week, and indeed every week, is daughtersofisis.com. That's daughtersofisis.com, all one word. The fragrant memories of our ancestors. And we're also brought to you by listeners just like you. So thank you. Thank you all. Gwendolyn, the new year is here. We're halfway through the first month. And do you have a fragrance from the daughtersofisis.com that might be a nice midwinter fragrance to keep us warm and cozy and inspired in this gloomy time?
Well, yeah, I do. I'm going to go to our Ayurvedic collection of chakra oils and suggest the Violet Dragon Healing Oil, which was originally created for Tai Chi and Qigong exercising, but it turns out it's a really nice healing oil. The Reiki healers like it. It's Bulgarian lavender and thyme, and we put some of the dragon's blood in there with basil and clary sage, and it's a really good blend to help you to relax and focus on something other than anxiety. And that's what I think is going on right now. There's a lot of anxiety in this country, and it would
and
just
indeed
be helpful.
The world.
Well,
and indeed,
yeah.
The world too. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Pardon me. I have to agree with you there. But I think the anxiety levels are just, they're beginning to pitch again up to a point, and be no good for nobody there. And so that's my suggestion, is the Violet Dragon.
And they can find that right on daughtersofisis.com, right on the website.
Right, under essential oil collections, our Ayurvedic collection of chakra oil.
Terrific. I wish we could send gallons to the Ukraine right now. That situation is certainly angsty. I posted an ad for the show tonight with a train wreck, an old photograph of a train wreck, which I believe is an old photograph from like the turn of the century, not this past century, but the one before, of a train wreck in Paris. And it was like, it was meant as an ironic statement, as a satirical and ironic statement about the state of how we're all facing the new year right now. It's for those of us not in a warm climate, like Gwendolyn, a lovely climate or an easier climate, it's especially dark. I mean, it gets dark outside my windows at 5 o'clock in the evening still. It is nice, though, because I am noticing, being a gardener, I am noticing that the light is changing just slightly, and I can definitely feel that the days are getting longer. So it's beginning in my front yard, for instance. I can see the sun is beginning to break over the house, and we face north-south, so that northern exposure, the sun is beginning to creep over my house and light up the beginning part of the yard. And it's just like, oh, even though all my flowers and plants and everything are buried under slush, I know that spring is on its way, and it's a nice feeling. Last week, we might have some callers too, by the way. I want to remind you, our number is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. I'm sorry, what?
We do have one.
Oh, great. Let's bring him in. I think I know who it is.
Well,
is it Wayne Johnson?
Good evening, folks. Yes, it is. Good evening.
It is Wayne Johnson. Listeners at home, let me introduce Wayne Johnson to you.
Yeah.
He is one of our regular listeners, and he actually is not a listener. He is what I consider to be a panelist on our What's My Line of the Airwaves here. We're kind of like the old,
you.
To tell the truth, I've got a secret, and what's my line? Every week that we do this show, I listen to Gwendolyn and Wayne, and sometimes Ron if he calls in, Kim if she calls, Pamela if she calls in, and I'm never quite sure, are we What's My Line? Are we To Tell the Truth? Or are we, I've got a secret. I know that we're a throwback to those wonderful 50s black and white game shows.
I'm going with, I've got a secret.
And I bet you do. I'm going with, what's my line?
I would have chosen what's my line, too.
Yeah, the glamour, the Sunday night glamour of what's my line was just impeccable. And that was the first of those shows. Was there a fourth one? It was What's My Line? What's My Line was people came in and the panel of celebrities had to guess what the person did for a living or
right.
Whatever that was. And then the final contestant was a mystery guest. So the panelists wore masks, and they had to guess who the famous person was who had come in and disguised their voice. And it was often a movie or a Broadway star. To Tell the Truth, I'll get them in order. I've Got a Secret was a takeoff, and it was also produced by Bill Todman, and that was Mark Goodson, Bill Todman, and that was they realized that having guests on, panelists with jobs, was interesting, but there were other people that had interesting secrets that weren't jobs; they were something else. So they came up with another show with four other celebrity panelists, and that was called "I've Got a Secret," and that show was that the person, they never came on with a job per se. They came on having done something extraordinary, like they had skydived higher than anyone else on Earth. They had skydived from 5 miles up or something, or they were the first woman who had climbed Mount Everest, or they had eaten
the Hoover Dam.
Yeah, or they had eaten 12,000 cheeseburgers without throwing up. That sort of strange thing, okay? So that was I've Got a Secret. And then the last one was To Tell the Truth, and that was a clever wrinkle on all of them. They had they had a celebrity panel of four people, again, four celebrities, journalists, you know, authors, writers, celebrity actors, whatever. And they would have three contestants come on who would come up and it's on stage and they would say, I am Stacey O'Connor. And then the next one would say, I am Stacey O'Connor. And then the next one, I am Stacey O'Connor. And then right. And then the voice, the host would say, Stacey O'Connor is the first woman to have circumnavigated the globe in a Zeppelin. And they would give he'd give a mini bio. And then the panelists, they would sit down, the three contestants, and the panelists would ask them questions. You know, contestant one, Stacey O'Connor number two, what was it, how did you eat all that time? How did you use the bathroom all that time? They would ask questions and try and determine whether each of those people really knew what they were talking about. And then at the end, they would guess. It was a fabulous golden age of television. You know, it was black and white, but it was wonderful. It was just as wonderful as today in a different way. So that's why we're joking about that. Enough about that. I want to talk to Wayne and Gwendolyn about something. Last week, we were talking about how did we chase the blues away in this January. And we touched, as we sometimes do, on politics a little bit. And I'm not going to dictate whether we go into politics or whether we avoid politics. It's going to be your call. You two will be our determiners. But what I would like to say is this. First of all, I'd like to say to everybody, get vaccinated. Okay,
oh, yeah,
I just
absolutely
have no patience with that. Secondly, I need you to register and vote Tuesday, November 8th is 15 minutes away. You must register and you must vote. Okay, so those are out of the way. So I won't say anything more than that unless my two fellow panelists dictate the show elsewhere. How are you two feeling about the new year, A, personally or generally, and what are you doing about it? So why don't we start with ladies first? Gwendolyn, what are you feeling about the new year and, either inside your own house or in the worldwide? And then what are you doing about it? Are you cooking more? Are you sewing something? Other than making fragrances, what are you doing?
I'm working harder. I'm being a lot more creative. I just really had one of my most creative years since the beginning. And I'm basically gearing up for classes and hopefully some safe traveling this year to a couple of different places. I've already got one online. But with the Omicron rise, the feeling that we're all going to get some version before it's over now because of Omicron, but
right.
But you know, I'm vaccinated and all of that, so I just roll with the punches, as Mother used to say. I'm optimistic.
Gwendolyn, you didn't test positive, did you, for COVID at any point?
No.
Yeah.
No. I have thieves in my pocket, baby. I'm optimistic about this year. I have a good feeling about it, actually. I don't spread that out across the globe with, a lot of what the general masses would consider good. I mean, we have a lot of challenges, but in a way, if you look at it from the proper perspective, having these challenges is something that, the movie never got good till he said, I have a bad feeling about this. So I'm looking at it from terms of it's an adventure, and you have to keep optimism is superior because basically you are what you think. And we create the world through the dynamic of our imagination. So it matters how you think. And I mean, that's something I know real personally and have taught for years. So optimism here. That's where I'm at.
Great. What I really love about Gwen. That was very epic and very accurate, I think. For me, let's see, what I'm going to do. Oh, well, we had, there's three of us from high school friends. So so now. It's been over. I'll be 69 this April, and we still get together. We were all hippies, posing now as responsible adults. One is a regional sales manager for FedEx. I, myself, of course, working with mechanical and electrical engineering disciplines, upgrading the electrical infrastructure grid for all the utilities here in the Mid-Atlantic. And the other one, very, very successful commercial construction, had his own commercial construction company, just sold it for very good amount of money. He still has a real estate business, consulting business, and he's on the board of advisors of the planning and zoning for Sussex County, which is all the Delaware Beaches, Rehoboth, Lewis, that kind of area. So, but we get together and just have a nice sit-down dinner with each other.
On a regular basis?
Champagne, huh?
On a regular basis?
About maybe 3 times a year type of thing, right?
Okay.
Now, the three friends that we're, and our respective wives. But
is this going into secret society stuff? Keep me going.
No. Are you kidding? I just thought we were old hippies. We're crispy. We don't have any. We can't formulate enough brain cells to come into a conspiracy. We'll have drinks, champagne, or whatever, wines, whatever you like, hors d'oeuvres and stuff. And then we sit down to a really nice meal. He's got one of those green eggs, ceramic egg smokers, and he always likes to do that. So what he did was a deboned turkey breast stuffed with sausage and then smoked in that big green egg for, hours. It was delicious.
That sounds wonderful.
Awesome.
But Wayne,
yes.
you're painting an elaborate, wonderful memoir. But again, I want to bring you back, if I may, so you indicted yourself in front of the jury by saying we do this 3 times a year. But that, Wayne, in all good respect, that's okay. One dinner. Every few months. I'm talking about what are you doing I want to try and help listeners tonight figure out what other people are doing about this month. The year is 15 days old, and in my opinion, it already feels like we've been having 2022 for 6 months. I feel New Year's Eve was 6 months ago.
You're very right. Well, what I was,
and
what I, was
maybe because
is.
I'm in a cold place. Now you're in Maryland, so you're half the distance between Gwendolyn and me.
Yeah, yeah, we're 24 degrees.
So,
well, what I was leading to was we communicate all day long with each other, jokes, questioning. Are we going to lose our democracy with the way we cannot even get votes together that says, yes, everybody's got the right to vote. On this annual day of Martin Luther King's birthday, where we celebrate the civil rights movement, we are seeing a blatant attack on those values that we had thought we had cured and settled back in the 64.
Right.
So that's what I'm trying to get to. So, go ahead. But yes, No.
So you're going to go ahead. Yeah. So I'm going to ask you a question to get you to
on this track.
Because it's wonderful. I know you, and you're very political, as am I.
Yes. Yes.
First of all, a two-part question.
Go ahead.
How Gwendolyn has admitted that she is watching the news less, that she has, she can't dunk herself as she was last year and the year before in the political, smelter of daily, hourly headlines and horror and, disbelief at what is happening. And what I'm saying is that the smelter is now it's not red hot anymore. It's white hot.
Mm-hmm.
It is white hot with vast portions of the politicians in this country, QAnon people now. It's not enough. Dr. Oz is running for senator in Pennsylvania.
Right.
He is not the most right-wing candidate. We have people to the right of Oz, who I feel is delusional. He may have syphilis. He is completely insane. And he is more normal than other candidates. We supposedly will have 20 candidates on the Republican primary. 20 candidates for that senatorial place. And they are lunatics. There are whole bunches of lunatics. And Oz is actually one of the more normal ones. If that's the state of this country, in a state like Pennsylvania, by the way, Pennsylvania, this is not Alabama or Mississippi. This is not Buttpoke, Arkansas. This is Pennsylvania. Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin. Shakers and Quakers.
Right.
Talk about incredibly. Okay, if that's what's going on here, are you lifting yourself out of the smelter? Are you watching less television and news? Or, and if you are, what are you replacing it with? Are you taking Valium? Are you smoking endless amounts of grass now that it's more legal? Are you shooting up morphine as I am? Are you injecting morphine? That's what I've settled with now. After falling in the ice, I decided to take a double dose of morphine today. What are you doing to make it through the next 2 weeks of just January?
Just January. Okay. I have resigned myself to the realization that the Democrats will probably lose the House and the Senate this coming election, and ergos our democracy. The only way that this can be flipped around is if everybody, the minorities, those who can vote, those who have any humanity spirit at all, get out and vote your conscience, because if you don't, the wing nuts will. The nut jobs will. This friend that I have that had his construction, he ran for Senate seat in the state of Delaware, and there in Dover, okay? Not a national or federal, but the Senate state, Senate seat. And he lost the last election. He was a new contender to it. And even with his notoriety and being well known, he's been, and basically in our conversations at this dinner, was he says the problem is those who should be voting for themselves and their interests said they're not getting out and voting. Even if he went and picked them up, delivered them to the voting booth, and brought them home, they're not voting. Whereas the opponents, the Rush Limbaugh, the Trumpsters and stuff, they would trudge through a 7-foot snowstorm to go cast their ballot.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you and your friend completely. The red voters are galvanized in insanity. And if the ballot said that you are voting yes or no, that the sky is orange, they would literally walk through flames to vote that the sky is orange. They would vote if the ballot said, if you take a hammer to your driveway and out in the front yard and hold it at eye level and let go of it, it will fall up.
Yeah.
They would run into a fire to get to a ballot box to say, I believe that the hammer will float up in the air. It will not fall. Gravity is a conspiracy by the Democrats and the blue voters and Nancy Pelosi. It is false. It is not true. It is not science. It's not real. And that is what, and I must tell you that when they talk about the Democrats being fractured and fragmented, Joe Manchin and Sinema they're totally part of the problem, but there are Democrats who, as you said, well, the entire state of West Virginia, for instance, with Joe Manchin, that state is one big toothless washing machine on a porch, impoverished, car on cinder blocks in a driveway. That state is about as low as you can go unless you go to Alabama and Mississippi and Louisiana and Arkansas. So West Virginia is like fourth or fifth in poverty. And those people are absolutely galvanized that Joe Manchin and his millionaire friends and that rollback of the taxes that they did for billionaires a few years ago under Donald Trump, that is an expression of the friendship that Donald Trump and his minions bear those impoverished people. Their children are drinking water that's got lead in it. They are living in squalor. They are poor. They are all of it. And they will do anything to reinforce that Joe Manchin is their pal. I am thunderstruck that this is going on. And we're living in Germany in the 30s where people were duped. Poor, struggling, depression people were duped into thinking that Hitler and his industrialists were their friends. But the real enemy was Jews, gypsies, gays, Czechoslovakia, Poland, Austria, Hungary. They were the enemy, and that everything that was happening to them in their poverty was Poland and Hungary. It was neighbors. And then when they had swallowed all their neighbors, then they had to really get busy on people inside the country because they were the next country over was France and Poland. And so they couldn't, to do that. I mean, Hitler was smart. He said, well, I can only swallow Hungary and Austria and Czechoslovakia and, the Sudetenland and I'm part of this and part of that. And now I'm going to have to, I've got to execute vast portions of the population inside the country. They'll make them the boogeyman. Well, now they're in prison. Okay, so if he had been smart and never invaded Poland, we would have a German empire in the middle of, Europe right now.
Yeah, you're right.
He could have carried it off. He could have carried it off. If he had not, and then he could have carried it off if he hadn't invaded Russia. So if he had swallowed Poland and then he had had war with England and France, well, they were so depleted, they didn't have the energy or the manpower. So all he had to do was focus on the Western Front and leave the Eastern Front alone. If he had just paid attention to Napoleon and realized, no, Russia is not a country you can conquer, not even in the spring, let alone in the winter.
Right.
Don't go
there.
And Stalin would have fallen right in line. He would have been angry about Poland, but you know what? Two fascist dictators, no problem.
I was going to say, actually, Stalin and Hitler did a little backdoor agreement. Look, I'll go up to here.
Yeah.
You come into there like you're getting me.
Exactly.
That way you get that eastern part of Poland. I'll take this western part of Poland, and we both win.
Yeah. And then that, unfortunately, But the problem and the wonderful thing about psychopaths is that they never know when to stop. So he didn't know when to stop. He's a narcissist and a sociopath. So he wanted more and more and more. It's like, oh, God. And that's, I think, God's way and the universe's way of protecting us is that, when someone is that bad, they really go all the way. And then that's where it works out. So it's like, Trump got out of office. What I wish had happened was that, and I mean this more and more every day, I wish Trump had won. I wish he had completely won, and I wish that I wish they had gotten everything. I wish they'd gotten the Senate and the House and the presidency. I wish it was done and done and done. And now we would have already been basking in the catastrophe of Afghanistan. The three of us would have been yahooing about the fact that Trump had blown Afghanistan, that he was stuck with it and he had to do, nope, that didn't work. And he would be stuck with each of these problems. COVID would have been much worse now. But people ungrateful. But people can't be grateful to Biden and to Harris. Yes. They can't be grateful. They cannot find it to say thank you to Anthony Fauci. Anthony Fauci is Satan on earth to people. I have them around me. I have one of them in my family.
Yeah.
And I must tell you, Wayne, you never tested positive, did you, for COVID?
No. I jumped on it. Of course, I took all the precautions.
Right,
I worked
in
the medical field. So I took all the precautions from day one. As soon as I could get the vaccine, I got it.
Right.
As soon as I could get the booster, I got it. I go out. I wear my mask because of Omicron.
Right now, George and I are triple vaccinated, and we wear our masks everywhere,
and we
have never tested positive. But I must tell you something, that you two, and maybe two other people I know, have never had COVID.
Wow.
Everyone that George and I know, everyone has had COVID. Well, some of them, first of all, Omicron is so contagious that any carelessness with a mask at all in a store or a grocery store or anywhere, it appears, because we have lovely friends who are triple vaccinated, but because a cousin of theirs or a customer that came into their store or someone blew it, and everyone we know has had COVID. Everyone. Some of them more seriously than others, some less. Mm-hmm. But everyone we know has had COVID, except for like you two and then maybe a couple of other people. The most wonderful politically activated people that we know have had COVID because the idiot cousin or the brother-in-law or the QAnon stepfather or the whatever, someone has gotten through the barricade and gotten it to them. And then, of course, we have other people in our lives who, and our neighbors' parents, we have people who are not vaccinated properly or not boosted or, so there are people that played with fire. But there are people who were like covered in asbestos fireproof suits, but some idiot came to the New Year's Eve, breakfast. And of the eight people that came to the New Year's Eve brunch, one of them had known someone who had known someone who had known someone who had COVID and did not wear a mask and did not, and there it is in the house. It's like, oh my God, it's outrageous. I can't believe that George and I haven't gotten it. And it's because, like you, we wear masks everywhere. And I give the stink eye to people at Wegmans who don't wear a mask and come right up against me at the eggplant counter. Mm-hmm. It's like, some moron wheels their three idiot children in their cart and comes right up beside me while I'm weighing the carrots. And I do things like I step away and feign horror. I step away and say something like, oh, you're clearly in a hurry. And I hold my hand up in a stop in the name of love position. I back way up and I say, no, you know what? You go first. I'll wait.
Right.
And some people are mortified.
Yeah. Let me, I want to go back to addressing or continue maybe our conversation on the insane aspects. When I first, Gwen had me on as a guest on her show, and Jack Jodell was the other co-host at the time. I was just a guest, and we were talking about Putin and Ukraine, particularly the Crimean Peninsula. And I said back then, which was 10 years ago now, I think, whatever, something like that, I said, Putin will take the Crimean Peninsula. He's got to. It's the only means of a warm water port for Russia. Putin cannot afford to let that go. And it wasn't 10 days later, Russia went in, took over the Crimean Peninsula, which was part of Ukraine, and took it away from Ukraine. Today, current events, they're bolstering up hundreds of thousands of troops on the border right now as we speak. And look, rest assured, folks, this is a typical battle situation. They've already started their hacking of shutting down computers among government agencies, like destroy the line of communications that could be able to help to organize a counteroffensive attack or whatever should the Russians go in. They've already done that. There's bugs planted on every computer in Ukraine that is of significance. And I'm going to tell you this too. You always kind of do a little spearheading, where's the weak spots and stuff like that. I guarantee you there are already civilian clothes, Russian soldiers in Ukraine in strategic positions to maybe blow up a telephone pole that would be communications or whatever.
Right,
Just like Hitler had troops in Poland, and they claimed, oh, the Polish people, the Polish armies attacked our poor little German troops here, so we had to counterattack and take over Poland. This is exactly what's Putin doing right now.
those Russian
right.
soldiers in civilian clothes, or even in maybe Ukrainian soldiers' clothes, will supposedly take a couple potshot fires over, way over somebody's head, right, where there wouldn't be a hit. But that could be the justification Putin's going to whip up, and they're going to go in there.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Putin, and this is the reason why Putin went after Hillary Clinton, because when she was with Obama, they were very much pushing to bring Ukraine into NATO,
oh, yeah.
the European
oh, yeah.
Union. And Putin could not afford to have NATO, to that, well, basically what had been part of Russia, and then it was going to become a NATO ally right there, which had been part of Russia for legacy. He's going
yeah.
to take it back.
Yeah.
So,
I,
how do I feel about the future? It's going to be a shitstorm.
Well, I found it very interesting that one of the people that was sentenced recently for January 6th, first of all, the sentences are absurd.
Oh,
and I'm
joke.
Sick to death of my Facebook friends saying, oh, Sybil, but they're getting sentenced. They're getting sentenced. I keep saying, they're getting sentenced. What are you, a shithole? You're an idiot. I mean, I don't
yep.
say that, but I balk at this.
Yep.
They're like, oh, no, there are people being indicted and found guilty by judges, and they're being sentenced for being bad people on January 6th. It's like this goo-goo chat. It's like goo-goo
yeah.
chat. These people are being sentenced, and I've
yep.
joked about this over and over again, to 2 weeks. First of all, $500.
Right.
And 2 weeks at a petting zoo changing kitty litter. The
right.
sentences are insulting. In another time, these people would have their hands cut off or burned off
yeah.
in front of the crowd. They would have their intestines torn out and wound on a spool. These people, and I'm sick to death of the insurrection. Insurrection is not an insulting word. Insurrection, the American Revolution was an insurrection. Insurrection means battling against what is established, the king, the queen, the royal family, the whatever. The insurrection, it was a riot. It was a riot of a thug gang. Thug
right.
gang members attacked the Capitol, destroyed property. This is what we need to do. We need to take the people that have did this. We then have state troopers go to their homes, their trailer park, their whatever,
mm-hmm.
their lean-to, and we need them to inflict the same property damage on their homes as they inflicted on the Capitol building. And when the troops, when the state police or whatever depart, we'll see how they feel about their homes being kicked in, their living room being shat on and pissed on, their bed being, all of that stuff. And we take that all the way up to Kevin McCarthy and
mm-hmm.
Rand Paul and that mm-hmm. fag, that closet fag, flimsy graham cracker. We kick in his home, we destroy his fag home with its interior, his throw pillows, and we see if he understands that when you went to the Capitol building to protest, it stopped being an insurrection and just became a riot when you were shitting and pissing and destroying property. Oh, and then you killed a policeman. I can't believe it. If, again, back to the whole Obama thing, if Barack
mm-hmm.
Obama, as a black man, had stirred up crowds of hundreds of people and had them descend on the Capitol and had them ruin the Capitol building and kill a policeman and assault others, the steps of those marble steps would have run
mm-hmm.
with blood. The bodies
Absolutely.
Would have been stacked
there'd be,
like firewood.
A river of red blood.
Gore, intestines would have been everywhere. There mm-hmm. would have been bodies everywhere,
right.
dead bodies. And Obama would have been hunted down, and he would have at least been deposed, if not murdered.
I'm sure it would have been a death sentence for him, yes.
The double standard is astounding.
He would have been shot at this, yeah, he'd been shot again.
Absolutely, assassinated.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This is, and what's amazing to me is, anyway, one of these people who was sentenced to like 12 days at, you know, at a cat litter farm or whatever, some forlorn thing. And by the way, whoever was sentenced to 5 years, oh, please, I watched Law and Order. I binge-watch Law and Order. Those sentences are turned into, you are sentenced to 5 years in a penitentiary. They don't even say penitentiary anymore. They say jail. There's a huge difference between a penitentiary and a jail. Yeah. Law and Order is guilty of that. They say, well, if you don't confess, you're going to go to jail. Jail? If a parking ticket is jail. If you kill someone, you go to a penitentiary. And by the way, our penitentiaries are Barry Madoff penitentiaries. They're freshly painted. They're stainless steel plumbing. They're white on white on white. Yeah, those are catered.
Yeah.
Bernie Madoff belongs in a crate with a hole drilled in it. Naked and in a crate with a hole in it. A hole where they push the food, they put the hose, and then they empty out the sewage once a day. That's where he lives for the rest of his life. What did he do? Yeah. He went to a glamour prison. But anyway, back to this guy. Well, he was sentenced to whatever. And if it's 5 years, he'll get out in, you know, a year with quote unquote good behavior. But at one point they issued quotes that he had said, and at one point he said, "If it takes a civil war, I'm in," or something like that. He was predicting a civil war. And what I'm saying to you, apropos of your prediction about the Crimean Peninsula, is that I think that we are absolutely drifting rapidly now, the way someone in a canoe, you know, on the Niagara River suddenly hears a rumbling in the distance and goes, "Why is the water moving faster? Why is the water moving faster?" I'm paddling now, and I was just out for a nice little ride, and I was paddling faster. I'm out of breath. And what's that roaring sound? It's like we are closing in on something big. Something very, very big. Well, because this wound, this boil is fully infected, and it is going to have to be lanced. And that always involves a hot knife and pain. And, you know, it happened in 1861, and that had been brewing for 20 years. People who don't study history, that had been brewing for 20 years. Back to the Senator Brooks battering incident, that was five years before this. That didn't even instigate it. As bad as that was, it made national news. It did not tip people over the edge. It was absolutely, it went on and on and on and on. So, anyway, what were you going to say?
I'm going to give you another scenario, too. China. Is doing a lot of saber rattling and building up.
Oh, my God.
Don't think that Putin and whatever his name is, Wang Dongdu, aren't planning on, if we go after our most means here, that means that the United States will have a two-front war to have to address. And here's the other thing. Like I said, I use John Ash's game theorem, and you kind of identify all the variables and then play out the scenarios and see which one kind of rings more true to yourself as you're looking at the critical thinking and the logic of it. I will give you the examples of Argentina. Economic devastation. People are grumbling. They're hungry and stuff. So what do? The Falkland Islands, we're going to take their property back from those nasty Brits. We're going to create a war, right? And everybody, we're going to war and get back our islands, right? Forgetting the fact that they don't have two quarters to buy a loaf of bread, right? And then let's fast forward to Saddam Hussein and Iraq. He had a long, financially draining war with Iran for several years, battling on the border there. They were bombing each other, buying weapons and stuff and blowing shit up, and he was in financial trouble. So what's he do? I'm going into Kuwait because they faces at me, right? And henceforth, he went in to take the oil reserves. He was raiding the piggy bank of Kuwait because
his
national funds were depleted, and he needed that cash flow, their oil wells, their wealth. And that's what happened there. And, of course, that created the first Gulf War with Daddy Bush.
Right.
China has always been built on, here over the last 20-some years, 30 years, of the pyramid system. Being in industry, we've known this for a while, was I was dealing in circuit breakers, surge protection for equipment, telecom, datacom, whatever. And anyway, the national sales manager for the company that I was working for went and visited China, and they're talking with this Chinese company that made circuit breakers. And he asked me, he says, okay, how do you base your price? He said, well, this is my cost of material, and this is the cost of my labor, this is my price. Right. And then the man I knew, he said, well, what's your profit margin? What profit margin do you work on, 30%, 20%? The guy looked at him with a questioning look, like he had no clue what he was saying. He said, no, this is the price of my material, this is the price of my labor.
Right.
That's my price, right? The concept of a profit margin at all. And
yeah.
In the 2000s, the W. Bush years, it was all about buying a business. Steel industry has their own steel banks. The textiles has their textile banks, right? It's not a banking system like we're used to. So anyway, but say you're making widgets and gizmos. Well, I'm selling widgets and gizmos to the United States, and I'm wiping out widgets and gizmos here in the United States industry because we cannot compete competitively on the price. But the guy in China is losing a dollar on each and every widget and gizmos he's selling. But he goes to his widgets and gizmos bank and said, hey, if I can borrow another $3 million, I can produce more widgets and gizmos here and get a larger chunk of that share in the United States. Still losing a dollar
right.
a piece.
Right.
Right. But he's going to make it up in volume. Duh.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what happened to U.S. industries because it was an economic war China was waging with us 30 years ago. And now GM is selling 70% of their volume of sales of their cars in China. Ford, same thing. Tesla, same thing. And if we go to war, who do you think these Fortune 500 companies are going to be friendly to and subservient to? The country that founded them, the country that supported them, that gave them tax breaks, or the country that 70% of their market share is coming from.
Well, and the other thing that we found out, we knew that it was a nation of a billion people and cheap labor. What we later found out was that they were turning their prisons into work factories in which prisoners were literally working for free making circuits and, and cars and everything. So they literally took their prison population and used them as slave labor, which is not a bad idea. it's like, I don't know why people are watching TV in prison. This is where I become Ebenezer Scrooge. Is there no graffiti to clean? Is there no litter to pick up? Are there no highways to clean and repave? I feel like Ebenezer Scrooge when he's confronted with the two, charitable millionaires who come in and say, wouldn't you like to contribute? And Ebenezer Scrooge says, have the work farms closed? I mean, are factories done? Obviously, he was, misguided because he was suggesting that children at 5 years of age should work 12-hour days in a factory with no heat. But on the other hand, Bernie Madoff, is there no litter to be picked up? Is there no graffiti to be cleaned? Are there no road gangs to be manned? Bernie Madoff, and all of them. It's just ridiculous. They're watching TV. They're doing this. It's my politics. Although I seem to be left of center and very progressive, there are times where I look at my own end of the spectrum, and I won't go into details, but there are lots of people on my end of the spectrum who will not register and vote. They scratch their lazy asses and say, my vote doesn't count, or I didn't get there today, or I will be. It's like we have people all over the place. Joe Manchin is like cancer. So that is just, he and Sinema are like literally oozing pus-filled tumors in the Democratic Party. They must be excised and burned out with chemotherapy immediately. But we have citizens who will not get vaccinated. They are delusional, and they are on the left. They are voting for the wrong people in West Virginia. Those people should be voting correctly, as you said, Wayne, and they are voting against their own interests. And that's terrifying, because they will vote wrong, and we, sadly, are still in the canoe hearing the roaring sound being dragged to God knows what. It's like we are surrounded by people on our own side of this fence who are coming up with delusional thinking. The non-vaccine crowd is astounding to me. And I won't go into detail about who it is and what it is and the percentages, but I'll let Chuck Todd talk about it. I'll let MSNBC give the numbers, and I'll let Steve Karnacki talk about what percentage of what group is still not vaccinated, and I stand thunderstruck that these people would be delusional in the face of an illness that. And as you said, you know, Gwendolyn, you said, I guess we're all going to get it. I guess it's really like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the movie, the 1950s movie. It's like, oh, why don't we just sleep with a pod? I'm at the point where it's like, you know what, if it's so much happier to be a QAnon Republican and, you know, whatever, you know, maybe Anthony Fauci was accidentally right. We will reach herd immunity. We will all get the disease, and some of us will die. Most of us will live having been very sick. Because most of us get sick, we will ruin the entire medical establishment financially. We will wipe out all medical care because there'll be no money for cancer or heart disease because, you know, every moron who could have gotten a free vaccine didn't. And so now we, you know, pay $20, $30, $80, $100,000 a person getting them cured because they were too lazy or stupid to get vaccinated. And it's like, you know, okay, fine. Because I'll tell you, COVID and Mother Nature and the goddess, they are not working properly. Yeah, if they were, if nature was really wonderful, she would say, I'm going to kill everyone who didn't get vaccinated. I'm going to really thin the herd here. But no, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she looks like $1 million. She looks like an ape, but she looks like $1 million. She's as healthy as a horse. And why not? She's got four hooves. But I mean, it's like, she's not sick. Mitch McConnell. Yeah. Well, he's gotten vaccinated. You know, he's a liar. So he's against everything that you know, Joe Biden is about. But he sure got his lazy, sagging 900-year-old ass into a stirrup and got a vaccine, you know, done. So did Fu Manchu's daughter, wife. But the bottom line is this, that Marjorie Taylor Greene, unless she's lying, she didn't get vaccinated, and she is not
sick. I think she's lying.
I think she's lying too, Wayne. I think she's absolutely lying. I think she's a filthy liar.
Sure.
I think she's a liar. I think she got vaccinated early on, and that's why during the riots she was running her ass around with no mask on when they were all sheltering. That she was, you know, she and Steve Scalise, who should have died on that. God, we rescued him from his softball game shooting. I mean, there's another one. The list of villainy is huge, huge. Jim Jordan, right? Is it Jim Jordan?
Yeah, Ohio.
Yeah, I mean, my God. Yeah. My God, he's a nightmare.
He was there knowing that those college kids were being ass raped.
Oh, that, we can't even go into that. Because to me, Jim Jordan is another gay guy. You see, black, white, straight, gay, you know, red, green, yellow, brown, paraplegic, Olympic athlete. There is villainy everywhere. Jim Jordan and Lindsey Graham are, I still can't believe a hustler hasn't come forward and who wants to make $1 million and you know, and said, oh, no, I've been Lindsey Graham's blowjob boy for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. And we're just surrounded by this.
And getting back to Jim Jordan, of course, as you know, I lived in Columbus for 6 years, and it was Ohio State University that went down. You know, we didn't find out until late, you know, much later, right? after he was a congressman. But that district, the Republicans there are so – there's a think tank, a conservative think tank in Cincinnati, and they have funneled so much bullshit, misinformation, all the little buzzwords that when I first went out there, Ohio overwhelmingly voted for President Obama over Mitt Romney.
Right.
And even when Mitt Romney's son, through one of their little shell companies, bought the company that was supplying the voting machines to Cincinnati, but the election judges tested the machines out and found out half of them were flipping the votes.
Right.
They took them out of, took them off the line.
Right.
And they had to extend the voting hours until like midnight because of the few voting machines they had and the people showing up to vote. So there was a good, honest election. But the Romneys tried to steal, the Republicans and the Romneys tried to steal that election in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Fast forward.
Wayne, you've got like 1 minute left. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, long story short, Ohio is so gerrymandered, care if he was caught with a dog and pony show, you know, a sex act, he's going to be reelected as a Republican conservative in Ohio.
Yeah. Well, it's very interesting. I grew up, I've spent a lot of my life in Ohio, and I watched as Ohio changed completely. And I lived in Cincinnati for a while, and then I lived in Toledo for a long time. And so I've been witness to the evolution of Ohio and the devolution or whatever it is in Ohio.
Yes.
We are out of time,
I think,
Gwendolyn. We didn't even let you speak. We got on a jag there. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I'm not in politics right now. It's just depressing.
Well, very good.
Unhealthy for blenders. That's all.
Well, we got off. I guess it's like magnetic force. You know, it's so powerful.
Yeah, I do.
What's going on that you get sucked into the subject of the villainy and the mendacity of our age, and the players are just so big. It's a Mount Rushmore of 20 faces of villainy. They are giants. They are giants. We don't have giants on the left. We have giants on the right who are huge monsters. It's a Mount Rushmore of monsters right now. And it's shocking. It's a good image, isn't it? It's really kind of a good image. To express it. We are out of time, and I just want to – I'm sorry, what?
It's bad, I know.
Yeah, and I can understand why you're not watching the news as much, Gwendolyn, and why you're – but it is interesting that in the face of disaster, you're being creative. I've been writing a lot lately, and I've also – not that anyone cares on my Facebook page, but I've also been cooking a storm. I've been making food, left and right. I've been just dunking myself into creativity. I even pulled out some of my needlepoint. If it were possible, I'd join a pottery studio. But I'll tell you right now, if I had a potter's wheel in a kiln, I would be at my potter's wheel, and I would be doing pottery like left and right now. Maybe that's something I need to figure out how to do in the basement here. We are out of time. I want to remind you all that you've been listening to Come Now, Don't Sulk, which is part of the Here Be Monsters studio, and we are on Blog Talk Radio every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. Hello, Australia. Hello, Madagascar. Hello, England and Germany. We have listeners all around the world right now listening in, and we thank them for joining us. We are brought to you every week by DaughtersOfIsis.com. That's DaughtersOfIsis.com, one word, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, and by listeners just like you. You can find Gwendolyn and myself on Facebook, on our own pages, and you can also join us on – But, and you can also join us on the Civil Brunch and Lollipop Guild page. And that is a place that is non-political and non-denominational. It's just a great place for friends to meet and talk about things that they love and that make them feel nice. And you can also find me on SybilSays.com. That's S-Y-B-I-L-S-E-Z, SybilSays.com. Please join me there. Join me on Facebook. We will look forward to seeing you next week. Gwendolyn, Wayne, I love you. The public loves you. We love each other. We're a big love-in. We're all ex.
That's right.
We're all ex-hippies.
I was going to say, I really love our friendship, folks, and this show is so important right now to get things out and maybe share some share of light, of healing light.
Yes, and thank you, Gwendolyn, for giving us that opportunity as our headmistress here.
You bet. Good night.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much, everybody, and good night.